It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's trending?
And welcome back. What's trending right here in Cody and Gold? Cody and Gold Tuesday. Because Monday is the holiday, so it's Tuesday, the 3-day weekend for Cody's big 40th birthday. He's a man. He's 40.
I thought yesterday was Friday. I had to wake up and understand the days properly. But yes.
I did too. But it is a nice 3-day weekend. Hopefully, you have it off, or at least part of it off for the weekend. Enjoy some college football. By the way, Drew, I just snagged the last Mountain Dew out of the company kitchen.
There you go.
Until they restock it, but I needed one. I'm like addicted to this stuff. I don't drink a ton. I'm like one a day, but I just like Mountain Dew, man. I do.
I hear you. I like Mountain Dew.
I love beer the most, but I do like a Mountain Dew from time to time.
I hear you. Number one on what's trending, Bink. The Royals are back in action tonight in Houston, but the bigger news maybe is that Vinny Pasquantino labeled 4 to 6 weeks, or 6 to 8 weeks. I wish it was 4 to 6. 6 to 8 weeks out with a broken thumb. A bit of a damper on how things have gone in the position the Royals find themselves in right now.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, we're on the cusp of September here. You know, 8 weeks takes you even through October into November. Then you get your swing back and you take swings and see live pitching. It sucks, man, because this team, you think Vinny's just one of the team leaders, man. He's one of the dudes, man. I know it's Sal Perez's team and Bobby Wood Jr.'s team, but then there's Vinny. And Vinny's the next best guy on this team, in my opinion. I mean, the guy leads the Royals in RBI. He's fifth in Major League Baseball in it. He's got that leadership attitude about him that he's just kind of one of the go-to guys for the team. And he's taking ownership for it. And so I think you lose that part of it as well. Sure, you can, you know, give the guys encouragement, be there, support them. But it's different when you're playing. It's different when you're playing, yeah. And your voice is much, much different. And it sucks because if this team is going to make the playoffs, in my opinion, there's no doubt about it. I know there's a way they couldn't, but come on, man, there's 27 games left. Even if they take a wild card, they're still 5.5 over Boston, which, by the way, the Red Sox are 7 games under .500 playing at Fenway, which, and 11 games over on the road, which, yeah, if they're playing home, not good. No one's going to catch them, but not having Vinny part of that, that's what really sucks about this. Because of how much and what he's done to get you to this point. Plus, they would have 3 guys over .100 RBI, and you're not going to have that now because Vinny's not going to get it. But Lucas Ursig, too. And I know the last couple games not perfect, but you trusted him. And we'll see what happens. I haven't seen anything on him yet.
I haven't seen any new news, no.
And hopefully he's fine. Or he's probably not going to be fine, but hopefully it's not going to be long for Lucas Ursig coming back. Because you think about trade deadline deals. Was there any better than that? I mean, I love Paul DeJong and what he's doing for this Royals offense, but man, that's the difference. We compare like this team to the 04, to the 14 team and the 15. I mean, this offense for this team is better in 24 because you're going to have 3 guys over. We're going to have, but Vinny was going to have over 20 home runs. 3 guys with the 100 RBI, going to have 2 now. But that 14 and 15 team, 19 home runs led the team in 14 with Alex Gordon and like 74 ribs. 15, the only guy to have over 100 RBI was Kendrys Morales. So, really like the offense. And Bobby, put somebody behind him. Is Sal Perez going to bat behind Bobby Witt Jr. now? Because it has been Vinny. Vinny giving that protection. Like, Bobby Witt got on base. Vinny knocked him in. That was just the recipe for this offensive success for this team. I'm going to miss that. Houston, hopefully the Royals can take advantage. They've been very good against the Houston Astros. Going into yesterday, they'd won 8 of the last 9 games against the Astros, including sweeping them earlier this year. And I know they're playing much different now than they did at the beginning of the season. Clearly, it's a different team. But last year, the Royals were 5-1 against them. And you know the Royals weren't good last year with 56 wins. The Astros went all the way to the ALCS that they've done 7 straight times. So,
yep,
8 of 10, they've beaten the Astros.
Number 2 in what's trending, NHL star Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew tragically passing away. Bink, I know you saw this.
This sucks, man.
One of the NHL superstars in a car accident. Very, very sad situation for not only his family and all of that, and people who root him on, but also for the NHL as well. Really tough.
Johnny Hockey, and it does suck. And something senseless like that on his bicycle. And yeah, one of the weird news of the story is he was killed with his brother. Like, him and his brother were killed.
Yeah, it's sad.
Their sister was supposed to, I don't know if she's still going to do it, but was getting married today. They were both groomsmen in the wedding. And Johnny's kids, two of his kids were going to be, one was the flower girl and one was the ring bearer. And their dad was killed last night. Mm-hmm. I doubt the wedding's still today. I can't believe it'd still be, but it's just heartbreaking, man.
Oh, yeah. Your family. Your whole life just completely changes in a matter of an instant. Really, really sad news. Number 3 on what's trending, I know you saw this. Brandon Ayuk, 4-year, $120 million extension. Popped on to his final year this year in San Francisco. It's a big deal for him, but the question also goes again for San Francisco, Bank, is what the heck are they going to do in there to pay Brock Purdy?
Yeah, and that's the question, because Frisco's paying a lot of guys a lot of money. And they're in this unique situation where they're able to do this and not pay their quarterback. They're still paying Brock Purdy 7th-round money. And we see all these other teams. The Chiefs have been able to still win. It's the most impressive thing about this streak that they've been on of going to AFC title games is 6 straight, is because they paid their quarterback, but yet his contract's so nice that you can float the money around, and the Chiefs are so smart doing it in different ways where they can pay people and still be a good football team because they draft well. And the 49ers, their window's closing. Well, Ayuk gets that money. And I don't think TikTok and social media have as much drama as Brandon Ayuk. That was drama. That was General Hospital times 10, wasn't it? So much drama. Is he going to be traded or not? Weird. He looks like the Patriots tried to get him. He didn't want to go there.
It was definitely weird.
And the Patriots really wanted, because they tried to give Calvin Ridley money too, and they cut Juju as part of the team. And that wide receiver room is not good, but that's a different point. But the bottom line is, yeah, he gets his money, but you miss all of camp because you're holding out and people couldn't figure out what you're doing. Are you going to be a teammate of them or not?
Yeah.
John Lynch, the GM in Shanahan, you could tell they were kind of tired of the whole situation. They were kind of getting fed up with it. The question is, will the Bengals get tired of Jamar Chase's act? Will he miss game 1?
No.
And not being in training camp, man, I know he was there. He was, quote, holding in. That's what they call it when you actually show up to practice and stuff, but you're holding out, you're holding in. So you're not getting fined and everything else as much. But that looms large for the Bengals in week 2 against the Chiefs.
Yeah, it does. I think he didn't need to show up Zach Taylor like that, but he's going to play week 1. I think he just wants his point to be heard. I think they should pay him anyways, because the sooner they pay him, the sooner it gets done before they have to pay him more money. I just think it would be smart to do that, but we'll have to see. A couple more things, by the way.
Are Bengals fans getting tired of him, though, because he's only after year 3? I mean, he's still got 2 years of team control. Plus, they could technically have him for 4 more years without paying him, and I know they will, because he's got 2 years left on the contract. They could tag him, then tag him in. Technically, they have 4 years of control.
I know. I just don't understand the reporting that goes around it. Adam Schefter started the whole freak out of, why aren't they paying Jamar Chase when he's paid? This would be a year. This is a year early anyways. It's a year early anyways for him to get paid. I don't know why people are making a huge mess about it, and now he's holding in. At least he's been at practice. He's been practicing in some instances. Recently, not. A couple more things on what's trending, by the way, or one more big thing. KU Missouri got big wins yesterday, Bink. A good start to the season, and then K-State plays UT Martin.
Yeah, and they look crisp doing it, and there's always that risk when you're playing that FCS team. Lindenwood, a 3-win team last year that Kansas played, not good. Murray State, not good as well, 2 wins. UT Martin, the K-State plays, actually was a ranked FCS team last year. They actually lost the Ohio Valley Conference by due to a coin flip with Southeast Missouri. Better competition, but you want to look crisp and you want to look good, and you want to, and they did. And you think about Missouri specifically, you know, going into those aspirations, you know, to make the playoffs and how good they finished the season last year with that win over Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl, is the fact that you think, okay, everybody's back catching the football for Missouri. Norfleet, the tight end, was banged up. And Theo Weiss, too, that used to play at Oklahoma. And, of course, was awesome last year for Missouri. Banged up a little bit. We'll have to keep our eye on that one. It looks like they're going to be fine, knock on wood there. But Cody Schrader, how are you going to produce that? Because Cody Schrader, man, he led the nation in yards per game, actually. What, didn't have as many yards, but he led the nation in yards per run. How are they going to supplant that? Well, they bring in Marcus Carroll, and they bring in Noel, and they bring in two former 1,000-yard rushers to play Missouri through the transfer portal. That's, again, Drew, that just shows you that transfer portal, that's big time. But I like – and Luther Burden, man, showing what he can do.
Oh, yeah.
But he's going to be explosive, but they did look crisp in their wins. And depending on when you bet Kansas or not, both teams did cover if you bet at the right time. Kansas ended up going, 49 points at the end of the day.
49.5 is what I bet. I got that, but I got hosed because Missouri was the same thing. They kicked a field goal late, and, oh, well, that is what happened. That was what's trending, by the way. Bink, the Royals, I know that we talked about this a little bit earlier, but just to – I know we don't have any more news on Erceg, but Vinny losing the time now, 6 to 8 weeks, reported by the Royals, it really – dampens the thoughts, I think, around the team, but I don't think this is not a kill shot to the season. I mean, this is, there's still 5.5 games up on the Red Sox. Like, I think it's easy to come across and say, and sometimes it's been a little bit of doomsday on the text line when we've talked about this, is, you know, I don't think the season is going to be, it's not going to be the same necessarily, but you can still make, it's not like your playoff hopes are shot. They're 5.5 games up, as you said, Bank, 27 games left, and the Red Sox are struggling at times, particularly at home. They can still make the playoffs even without Vinny Pasquantino because of where they've positioned themselves to this point.
Well, you've seen it. Acuna gets hurt in the Braves 21 championship, right? Didn't even play in the postseason. Only played, 82 games that year?
Yeah, they found a way to rally.
You find a way to do it. And having the best players doesn't always mean success. I mean, look at the Angels. I know Otani's with the Dodgers now, but you're thinking about between Trout and Otani, the MVPs they racked up never turned into postseason success. So baseball is a plug-and-play deal. It just comes to guys stepping up at this point. They've already stepped up, but can they go further? That's the question. I like Bobby Wood Jr., I mean, the guy's already out of this world. How much better can he be? I'm not looking at him. You're looking at the other guys, too. You're looking at Amassi being healthy and playing. You're looking at Mikel Garcia taking that next step. Kyle Isbell is already showing that, and he's been playing
MJ Melendez having huge,
Hunter
huge
Renfro,
moments.
MJ Melendez stepping up for this team. Freddie Fermin, that you're going to see a lot with Sal Perez playing a lot of first base. What are the Royals going to do? You're going to bring in an extra first baseman now? Does Nick Prado get the call up for first base at this time? Or do you bring up another catcher? But because Sal's going to be playing first base so much, I still think you want to see
Caglione.
You want to see Cags.
I want to see it, but it's not going to happen.
Well, it's not, because you're going to need to start the service time on him.
It's not going to happen.
And he's hitting .235 in single A, and I get it, man, but that's what you're going to have. And if you're facing high A pitching, it's much different in Major League Baseball. I just don't want to ruin the guy like, well, remember Jackson Holliday for the Orioles, big-time prospect, gets called up, plays like crap, still hitting like .172. Didn't help him much to that point.
Yes. Next year, I don't know if it's expectation, but it would be nice if when the Royals make the playoffs next year. See what I did there? When they make the playoffs next year.
Well, I think that's safe to say.
For a Cags to be in for him to be either there, or he's going to be on the 40-man at least,
you
to where he's walking
more
around.
More bad. Play the young guys. Play them out.
Throw him
out
there,
Bink. I was
like
the bottom of the roster guy for the Chiefs, too.
Throw him out there, Bink. But I think Prado makes a lot of sense, at least, again, right now.
If you go catcher, Brian O'Keefe, guys like that. Carter Jensen, how about that? Fifth best prospect for the
Royals. Right now, I think that
they're killing it.
It'll be interesting to see what Q does and what J.J. Piccolo does and how they try to manage the absence of Vinny Pasquantino until he can get back, which, by the way, would be, I guess, at the earliest, ALCS, correct, Bink? I mean, it would be ALCS or World Series when Vinny can be back in all likelihood.
How much effectiveness when you haven't? Yeah,
it just sucks that
been playing.
It sucks that it happened at the time that it happened. Because the Royals have been fortunate in regards to being able to stay relatively healthy. I know Vinny's goal, one of the things that we talked about and he's talked about, is to be able to play all 162. I mean, you're almost there. Like, you're down to the final stretch and then something like this happens. It just, in the way that it happened, it just stinks for Vinny, obviously. I'm not going to, I don't know who it was, Bink, and I'm not trying to blame anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody on the text line suggested I was trying to blame Cody. I don't know if it was Cody or not. So if Cody's listening still or commenting on Twitch, maybe he can back me up. But we talked about this very thing a few days ago, and the conversation was, hey, the Royals have been pretty healthy throughout the season. I don't know if anybody did it, knock on wood, or what it was, but it came it came up on the show, excuse me. And we have this issue. So I think they're going to be fine. I think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think it does change your expectations a little bit in what they can be. Because without Vinny Pasquantino, he makes enough of a difference, Bink, where it's going to be difficult to win a 4-game stretch, a 7-game series without one of the best bats that you have on the team. That's what makes the difference.
Because of the catalyst, but, you know, Bobby Wood Jr. getting on base and not getting in, things like that. But you get Sal Perez, you know, still there as the true leader of this team. I always wondered this, and this is what I've said for weeks. If not the Royals, then who? Minnesota's lost 8 of the last 10 games, and the Royals already have a 2-game cushion on them in the wild card and face them again. Now, Boston is 3.5 for Minnesota. They're 5.5 games the Red Sox are from the Royals. And again, I mentioned they've lost. They're 7 games under .500 playing at Fenway, so it's not exactly that they're a complete monster. Seattle is 6.5 back from the Royals in the wild card. Like, who do you really trust catching them? And still, this division is still very much in play for the Kansas City Royals. Things can happen. I know last night was disappointing. Obviously, you lost the game and you lost 2 stars. We don't know about Ursig yet, but, you know, you lost Vinny 6 to 8 weeks. That's tough to swallow, but the bottom line is, in the leadership part of him, I never forget with Vinny, he told MLB Radio, this team's not a fluke, like early on. Yep. And I was like, this guy, man, I like this guy. His fire, his passion, what he means for this team.
Yeah.
It is much different, though, when you're in street clothes and not playing, as far as your voice.
Yeah, sure. But still, I think him, you know, the way that they rally around each other, Vinny's absolutely a part of that, the vocal leadership group. And if you look at the schedule, I mean, after the Astros, you have the Guardians and the Twins in back-to-back series. There's your division. Or you could argue, if you're going to win the division, that's where you win it. Even if you can manage to maintain, maybe you don't win the division, but you still hang on, particularly against the Twins. If you can win that series, you just put yourself in a better situation and advantage in regards to the wild card again. So it's going to... It's a good thing that it's nip and tuck and every game matters at this point of the year, but it is a punch to the gut that you're not going to have Vinny Pasquantino playing for you again, at least 6 to 8 weeks is the estimation right now.
Because not only get the bat, but there's leadership as well.
You haven't seen any update on Ursig's condition. Somebody
have
just
not.
Texted, and I haven't seen anything
have
either.
I've been checking constantly. By the way, Andy Reid speaking to Dave, who moving to the Chiefs for a second. It looks like Juju and P. Ryan will be available against the Ravens at Thursday night. Reed's going to kind of take it slow, it looks like, with P. Ryan, but Hollywood Brown has been officially ruled out for that Ravens game as far as from the head coach, so I would look for that to happen. But Juju is interesting because the question was with his health, because he even said it, you know, is he going to be ready for week 1? But it looks like that is going to come to fruition. By the way, Drew, something you and I talked about before the show. The NFL is doing this stupid thing in in-game interviews with head coaches this year, which Matt Derrick had put this out on Twitter. He said, Andy Reid says, don't expect much from his interviews in-game this year.
Well, yeah. No,
says he will do them, but he's an NFL guy. But doing interviews in the game is not his thing. Thought that all along. You shouldn't interview coaches during the game.
It shouldn't be anybody's thing.
The
yeah.
in-game interviews are dumb. I know Major League Baseball managers do it like a Sunday baseball. They do it, you know, during commercial break, and I hate them. You don't really get anything valuable at them. But coaches, even in college football, when they grab them for one or two questions right before they hit the locker room,
it's pointless.
It's usually just frustration. It's, you know, one play at a time. You know, it's nonsense.
You and I could answer the questions for them and we'd be about right.
But in-game interviews with NFL coaches, I cringe when I see them. I do. When the sideline reporter's interviewing, you know, a head coach for that, I'm cringing. These guys are so locked into what they're doing.
You're
so locked into the game. It's the last thing you want to do is, and the NFL's, you know, making them do it. As Andy Reid, you know, talked about being an NFL guy. Of course he's going to do them, but don't expect much. You're not going to hear crap in those. And I guess maybe somebody will complain about a call at some point, which they'll get fined for, but that is the most ridiculous thing, this in-game interview.
Hey, Andy, what do you think about the pass interference call that cost your team a touchdown? Well, they made the call, and now we got to deal with it. I don't know. What do you want him to say? He's not going to blast the officials. He's not going to get mad. No coach is going to get mad. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, but the ridiculous thing.
Did you? Well,
those questions are you know, just silly
in the NBA
stuff.
Now, Bank, they're interviewing players. During quarter breaks or during
and you know, during the All-Star game, you guys are wired up.
Yeah, mic'd up.
Man, I don't like that, man. And I know, listen, this is XFL stuff, to be honest with you, before UFL. I mean, they've gotten some of those things from, but this is dumb.
Well, you know what they want to do, right? They want to give us a little bit more. They're not giving us any more by interviewing the coach. Or anything like that, because we know what they're going
to
say. We know they're not going
to
say anything.
To me,
they don't want to answer the questions. I mean, sometimes it's cringeworthy.
Especially in college football when you get a coach going in the locker room. What are they going to say?
I mean,
yeah, we kicked their butt. I'm expecting to win this game now. I mean, they're not going to say that.
Every now and then you get the "so quit asking" from Nick Saban. I guess, but look, I'm with you, Bink. I don't care for them. It doesn't. It's pointless to me. Even though they try to phrase it as, "Hey, we're going to go down to the coach. So you can hear from the coach." We don't need to hear from the coach because they're not going to say anything to us that it doesn't matter.
And also, you think about these interviews and how stupid they are trying to come up with questions or something. They're probably going to write them, you know, before the game begins. But just you get silly questions, and you can't
ask anything serious.
Which barbecue do you like the best?
I don't know about that one.
No, you're not going to get that. You're not going to get that during the game. But these are some of the stuff I hate. Like, I hate when a new free agent signs with Kansas City or something, they're asking the press conference, which barbecue is your favorite? Which one do you like? That or on the news when they had fun with, "Boo, Patrick Mahomes made the roster." Ha ha. That's just stupid. We're not going to laugh at that. That's dumb.
I agree.
By the way, this 913 says, "I think you should have a sideline reporter interview Drew or Bink going into commercial break." So I'll do this now, Drew. Your thoughts on this segment?
I think it was really good, Bink. I think there's some things that we can maybe do a little bit better, but you know, it is what it is. We're going to make some improvements and come back from break, and we're going to be a little bit better.
What are you going to tell Bink during the break because he slipped a few times?
What?
He slipped up a few times. I know we got his Mountain Dew, so he's relatively happy. What are you going to tell Bink during the break to fire him up?
As long as Bink's got the chew and the Mountain Dew, he's good to go. I trust him. All right, we're good.
All right, we'll take a time out, come back. We'll talk a little bit more college football. I'm sure Drew will. And I happen to like college football quite a bit next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Jay Binkley, Drew Nixon, Cootie Gold, back on, not Monday, but Tuesday. Cootie Tap celebrating his 40th birthday. We'll hear from Andy Reid About 1 o'clock, Les Brett Veach made some interesting comments yesterday when he met the media. Drew, talk about those in-game interviews for a minute like we did with the how ridiculous we think they are.
Yeah.
And text line agrees with that. There's something about giving fans is too much. That's something that I think is cringeworthy. Have you made your decision yet? And it was something I'm very glad about.
Huh?
We haven't seen the NFL do this. Move the kickoff if you kick through the end zone to 35. They're keeping it 30 at this point. I was so worried they were going to change that to the 35. I was so worried they're going to keep it at 30. Dave Tope thought they would still keep it there.
Yeah.
But there was all those rumors that they could move it to 35 because they're trying to increase the kickoffs. And I was like, you don't change the rules of the game during the middle of the game.
Oh,
and I get
the regular season
hasn't started. But you had all these teams prepping for, do we kick it out of bounds or not? Or see our coverage unit. And taking it to 35 is much different than 30. But I think a lot of teams are just like, all right, we'll just kick it out of the end zone. And it changes how you do things and how you practiced at camp and what you did in the preseason games. But, yeah, I'm glad they didn't change the rule for that. Now, should it eventually be there? Yeah, I guess. I'm fine with it, but I'm fine with keeping 30. Kickoffs are going – the average return brings it to the 28 anyway. Like the average return mm-hmm. to the preseason, the 28. Last year, the team with the lowest average on kickoff returns was 16. With 16 yards. So if you're going to yield 2 yards, just not to have the big one break against you, not to lose that tackle.
Yeah, I don't think they need to. I don't know why they're trying to fiddle around with it. Like, they just pick what you want and just and test it out.
And it's going to be so different. Again, we're not going to have those surprise onside kicks. It's one of the things I like. You know, you come out at halftime and you've seen things on film and you do the onside kicks. Now you got to say you're doing it and you have to be trailing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that to me is BS. I don't like that. I wish that you could keep that in there while also maintaining the kickoff stuff because it takes a level of strategy out of the game, you know, in
a
way.
It does.
And I think it kills that. But
I heard this the other day, real quick. I heard this the other day and I 100% agree with it. By the way, Bill Belichick was on with Pat McAfee. Did you see what he's doing this year for the NFL?
He's
the Manning cast.
Yeah, for the first half,
just the first half, yeah. So he'll be on the Manning cast, which is interesting because Eli's there, and Eli beat him twice in the Super Bowl.
I'm sure that's going to come up at least once.
But every Friday night, he and Peyton Manning are doing a show, like a film room show on every Monday Night Football preview to preview it on Friday night. And they're going to sit there, Belichick and Manning, and break it down. Break down
that
the film. That's going to be
like,
awesome.
I was going to say, that sounds in your wheelhouse.
It's geeky, and I like it, but I love that fact. But listen to this, Drew, because this is actually really interesting. This was Belichick when he was on with McAfee a couple days ago.
Do you see the kickoff continuing like we have watched throughout this preseason?
It's pretty hard to get used to, I'll say that.
Yeah.
Look, my thing, AJ, first of all, my thing would be just move the ball back. I mean, this is like golf. You know, the 400-yard par fours are no longer 400-yard par fours. They're 500-yard par fours. So if they can hit it further, just move the ball back and kick off in the 20 or 25 or put it wherever you want to put it. But if you want kickoff returns, then just move the ball back. I think what we saw in preseason was most teams kicking the ball so it would be returned so they could evaluate their coverage. And sometimes they might have had some kind of a situation with their opponent where, well, you do the same thing for us. So, you know, we get a chance to return the ball, right? And that's, you know, that's what it is. I think once you get into the regular season, if a team's got
touchbacks,
a good return,
Bill, it's just going to be touchbacks. That's all it's going to be. That's all it's going to be.
Yeah. I mean, you put the ball on a 30 instead of the 25. I mean, big deal. But I'd rather do that than, you know, to kick it to one of these guys that, you know, has got a chance to, you know, change field position on you in a hurry. So I think we saw more returns in preseason percentage wise than what we're going to see in the regular season. And again, remember preseason, I mean, first of all, the games are the games. And second of all, a lot of guys that are back there are just guys that, you know, teams want to evaluate. So it's a little different. You start talking about kicking off to, you know, Turpin and, you know, Duvernay and guys like that. I mean, I'd kick it out of the end zone.
See, that made so much sense. And I know we're going to see Belichick on the sidelines again next year, probably in Dallas, in my opinion. But, yeah, you've seen all these articles. They're up 28%, you know, returns and things like this. Because everybody's just trying it out. It's what Belichick even mentioned there.
You really think that Bink's coaching again? Or that Belichick's
100%.
Coaching again?
I think he is 100%. He even said he wants to.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, he's right. Teams are still trying to land in the landing zone and just try to test their kickoff return unit. But now, like he said, instead of kicking the ball at the 35, to be honest with you, instead of a stupid landing zone, move the kickoff back to the 20. Yeah, there's going to be some kickers that can probably kick it through, but you're going to get more returns that way.
If you want the returns,
I think it just makes sense. Just move the ball back instead of the stupid landing zone.
If that's the goal for more returns, then yeah, it does give your defense, though, I think, a bit of a disadvantage because the other team's starting with the ball at the, I don't know, 30 on a regular basis more than the 20 or 25 or whatever.
But I told Gold that one day I was in with him. I was like, I'm just kicking it through the end zone. Take the 30. One, you're limiting that. Yeah, you can still get a fumble, I guess. You can't get that. But you're limiting the big return, and you're saving your kicker. So he's not out there making a tackle.
Yep.
Like, that's the last thing that you want is an injury to your kicker. Because, like kickers or not, games come down to those dudes, man. Chiefs don't win a Super Bowl without Harrison Butker. I mean, it matters that much. So, anyway, I thought that was pretty brilliant by Belichick. Just move the damn ball back.
That makes
too much sense.
I agree. Do you want to get into some college football picks?
Let's go to some college football at this point.
All right, we're going to do that, then we'll get to random question. Well, I guess first things first, do you know who you have seeded 1 through 12? Like, do you know who you're taking, or do you just want to do conference champs and then Final Four and then champion? You just want to do that? Just
the 12 playoff teams.
Okay, you want to run through all 12?
Name your 12.
Well, do you have
now, as far as your 12. Top four, if you want to go to the top four seeds?
Sure.
Georgia, let's
start with the bias.
Oregon, Ohio State, and I do believe that
Oregon and Ohio State only one of them can get a bye.
I meant Oregon.
Oh, Oregon?
Just flat out Oregon. Oregon wins the Big 12 or the Big Ten.
Okay.
Georgia, Texas. I know you can't have two from the SEC in the top four.
You got to pick a Big 12 and an SEC team or and an ACC team.
Miami. I really like Miami this year.
I'm with you.
100% like Miami in this situation.
Which is weird to say because normally they find a way to lose.
Yeah. And if a Big 12 team sneaks in, I still think Kansas State wins. Big 12.
Okay, so they would be in as your four seed. I've got Oregon as the one seed, Georgia as the two, Miami as a three, Kansas State as a four.
Oh, really? Okay. Yep. Do you have Missouri in it too?
I do have Missouri in it. As far as the other seeds go, obviously, these are the first rounds, so the hosts will host, and the higher seed will host a game on campus, which I think is freaking awesome. I think Penn State will undefeated, Bink. As crazy as it sounds.
I like Drew Aller, quarterback, but against West Virginia this week will be a real test for him.
They brought in Andy Koltunecki from Kansas, and I think offensively he's going to do wonders for them. They're going to actually be able to utilize the quarterback talent that they've been able to bring in instead of just run the ball. And have an offensive system that actually works well for them. I think Penn State are the five seed. Notre Dame, I'm high on the Irish this year. I think I told you.
Tough game against A&M this Saturday.
I think they win that one, and they showcase what they're about, and then the schedule is a lot easier after that. They're the sixth seed. I think Ole Miss is the seventh seed. Ohio State is the eighth seed. I think Ohio State loses to Oregon and Penn State this year. Texas is the 9. Clemson, I think, is the 10. Missouri is the 11. Missouri goes 11-1 to me, but I think what the committee is going to do, the reason I have them all the way down is 11, because you might be thinking, what the heck are you talking about? I have them in the SEC title game. I think in terms of resume building, 11-1 is going to get them in, but the seeding is going to be dictated on the schedule and those other things, and I think that's where I can see them being a 10 or an 11 seed instead of like a 7. Because Ole Miss is going to have a better record, but Ole Miss's schedule is significantly tougher than Missouri's schedule. I think that's where things are, in terms of seeding, it's not necessarily going to determine who gets in or not, as much, in my opinion, as it determines how the seeding shapes itself up. So my group of five team, by the way, is Memphis. I think Liberty go undefeated, Bink, but they don't get in because of what happened last year. And I think it is between literally Tulane and Memphis. Boise State are really solid, but they're going to lose to Oregon, and then maybe they drop another game here and there. Them not picking Malachi Nelson is kind of sketchy to me. Give me Memphis. But, Bink, last game of the year, Memphis and Tulane play against each other. They might have a rematch the very next week in the American title game to see who makes it to the playoff, potentially.
I have LSU. in the playoffs.
The gumbo gunslinger, Gary Nussmeier.
I have basically the same list you do, except I have LSU because
do you have Missouri in?
I do have Missouri.
Do you have Clemson out then?
Yes.
Do you have Alabama in?
Yes.
Out? You have Alabama. Okay, so who else is out for you then if you've got Alabama?
I switched it. I had Clemson in. I had Alabama out.
Okay.
Yeah, I know it's weird, but I'm just.
I think Alabama's
going to
go 9-3. I think they're going to have a solid year, but they're 9-3 in the SEC. I know it's the SEC, but 9-3 is not good enough to make it.
See, I like LSU. Year. They're kind of on the outside looking in as far as the top 10, but they're gonna quickly move up because Florida State obviously lost. LSU, I think, is ranked 13th right now. But the best offensive line in college football, that offense is no joke. And I know Jaden Daniels isn't there anymore, but Will Campbell is the best left tackle in college football. He'll be a top 3 pick in the NFL. Both tackles will be drafted in the first round.
Oh, yeah.
So I think they have the strong.
Their defense has to get better though, Bing, because they were.
They were
awful.
That was a championship caliber offense they had last year.
I know, and they got Harold Perkins,
Harold Perkins will be the top right tackle, and Will Cain will be the top left tackle. And Garrett Nussmeier, quarterback. You know, people think big thing. He's no Jaden Daniels. No.
No, he's a little bit of a big boy, Garrett Nussmeier.
So I agree with you on that. But
strong arm.
I do believe in LSU this year.
Who do you have one in the or who do you have in the Final Four?
I've got to be honest with you, I have Georgia winning it all with Carson Beck and quarterback. Yeah. I totally
does that mean you have him winning the Heisman too?
At this point, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got Carson Beck.
My Final Four. I know Kansas State hosts it. Kansas State's a 4 seed. And they get a bye. Don't kill me, Kansas State fans. They're going to lose to Penn State because they play Penn State. It's a tough draw for them to play Penn State. They're going to be the 4. They're going to play the 5. They lose to Penn State. I got Oregon against Penn State, rematch of the Big Ten title game, Georgia and Notre Dame in the Final Four. Georgia's going to beat Notre Dame. Oregon's going to beat Penn State. Oregon wins the whole thing.
I have Oregon and Georgia.
Ohio State is really, really freaking good, but based on how Will Howard, like the quarterback competition was kind of at Ohio State. Like it was still went a little bit longer than some people thought.
It went down to the wire, but he's got the 4th best Heisman odds, which is interesting because he almost didn't make starting quarterback at Ohio State.
Yeah, I think Dylan Gabriel's the easy bet, but you're it is plus money, but if you were to pick a dark horse, I think Jackson Dart is a good pick for Ole Miss, and then a real sleeper is Nico Iamaleva from Tennessee.
Iamaleva.
Yeah, I pronounced it incorrectly this whole time. Yikes.
You start with E. Like you go there, you go to Tennessee's official deal. It starts with E.
Iamaleva. I'm sorry, Nico. I've been pronouncing it wrong the entire
time. That will be a household name soon.
He is really, really good. I will learn how to pronounce it sooner rather than later. But yes, I got Oregon winning the whole thing. You got Georgia. All right.
Yeah.
I think two locals make the playoff.
I mean, you know, that team just. Ridiculous. And I know that you look at their NFL picks lately, especially on defense, they're not doing so well. Like Lewis Seen just got cut from the Vikings. But yeah, I like Carson Beck. I like Quinn Ewers in that final. Nico, I like as well in that list. I don't put Will Howard there. Cam Ward, I would take out Jackson Dart and I'd put Cam Ward there for Miami.
That's another sleeper. Yeah. I think Luther Burden, I don't think there's ever been a Biletnikoff winner from Missouri. I think Luther Burden wins the Biletnikoff, and I don't know. I don't think it's close, Spink. He's going to win maybe Evan Stewart from
Emmanuel
Oregon.
Emmanuel Ibuka is going to be really good.
Ibuka.
Because that's going to be the number one target
I think
for
Evan Stewart,
Ohio State.
Evan Stewart might be a sleeper or Tez Johnson, whichever one of the two is leading because Oregon's going to sling the pigskin a whole lot with Dan Lanning's offense. I think he could be a sleeper. I think Luther Burden's winning it for the first time in Missouri history. Somebody from the text line, 913-586-7765 from the 816. Drew Notre Dame is never good. Normally true, and I do not like. It's funny. My wife's family's from South Bend, Bink. I can't stand Notre Dame.
Oh, really?
I cannot stand Notre Dame mainly because of the fan base, but they always blow it. Their defense is so freaking good this year, and Marcus Freeman is not Brian Kelly. I think Notre Dame is legit, and they're going to be good enough to make the playoff and pull off a couple of wins. Somebody also texted in. Ryan Day is going to blow it. Chip Kelly's there, Bank, in case if something happens with Ryan Day. Chip Kelly's going to become the next head coach at Ohio State if it happens this year. I think they beat Michigan at least, but I don't know if he survives the job because they go 10-2.
And
they don't win the Big Ten. I don't know if he survives.
And Igbuka's this good, by the way. And don't sleep on this guy. He was hurt most of last year. He would have been a first-round receiver last year, but he wanted to come back to Ohio State, and he clearly was injured most of the year. 2 years ago, he had 74 catches for 1,151 yards and 10 touchdowns. Marvin Harrison Jr. had 77 for 1263. His numbers were right there with Marvin Harrison Jr.
I do think Will Howard is going to have, and not necessarily karma, but all that smack talk. I don't feel like I have to be a superhero here at Ohio State. Like, dude, settle down. Relax.
And the one thing, too, is
settle down.
And Keyshawn Judkins from Ohio State. Again, they're loaded.
Oh, Quinshawn. Oh, dude, he might be another. I think he has better Heisman odds than Will Howard.
He was a stud at Ole Miss. And it's one of those transfer portal.
Ohio State is locked and loaded.
Yeah, and Dave Jack Sawyer on defense and get to the quarterback. The team's going to be tough to beat. Again, talent on paper, they're the best.
Yeah, I think
they also have the most Neil money as well.
I was criticized because I have Iowa State in the Big 12 title game.
My sleeper in the Big 12 that I don't think people were talking about was UCF because they had the second best offense in this conference last year besides Oklahoma.
Yeah.
West Virginia finished strong.
Sneaky good. That conference is so good.
I still like Kansas State the best with Dylan Edwards, DJ Giddens, I think Kansas and A.B. Johnson just pounding the rock.
Well, I think that what's going to be – the way that I have it shaping up, Iowa State plays Kansas State the last game of the season. Iowa State's going to beat Kansas State to get into the Big 12 title game. They rematch the next week. K-State gets revenge. That's how they go in. And Rob was giving me a hard time, too, because look, the Big 12, that was the most difficult conference to predict, Bink. I know the SEC is really good, obviously, the best in terms of talent and all that stuff, but the most competitive conference is the Big 12. And it's, you could see 5, 6, 7 teams winning. You could see Arizona winning it. You could see Utah winning it. Oklahoma State could win it. West Virginia could somehow make the game. I mean, Kansas, obviously, if Jalen Daniels stays healthy, it is a loaded conference in college. I'm just glad the college football is back, Bink.
Text line doesn't exactly agree with you on Notre Dame, but I will say this. They actually have a legitimate quarterback.
Riley Leonard.
Like Riley Leonard, transfer portal guy from Duke. Dude's a stud.
And I think Marcus Freeman is much better than
Sam Hartman experience.
I think Marcus Freeman is one of the best coaches in the country. A lot of people forget about Notre Dame because they're not in a conference right now.
We'll find out a lot when they play A&M. College game day is going to be there for the A&M Notre Dame matchup.
It's
the second best matchup this weekend.
You know who the guest picker is, too?
Johnny Football.
Johnny Manziel. All right, Bink, you want to get to a little random question? I believe that you have one today.
No, I do, but usually the text line gives me crap for this on the show because I ask kind of rhetorical questions at times.
I promise that Bink has a real question
today.
It is a real question.
All right, so the other day, the Dodgers were doing Shohei Ohtani bobblehead day, and I bring this up because people in this town love bobbleheads. When I did the Royals, like post-game and stuff, tons of people out there.
Everybody loves bobbleheads.
Yeah, the bobbleheads. The Shohei Ohtani, they had the first 40,000 fans they were giving them to in L.A. They had a line that started 7 hours before that game. They actually had to open the doors early to that stadium.
Oh, they did? They caved?
They did. There was no way, because they hold at least what they bring, like 48,000, I think, is their average attendance. Somebody didn't get the Shohei Ohtani bobblehead. I know many people, they're probably just to grab it and throw it on eBay the next day and make money on it. But I wouldn't, in my wildest imagination, you would have to pay me a lot of money to wait anything for 7 hours. I would, the longest I would ever wait for a bobblehead is, I wouldn't.
So you would want to get paid to wait instead of paying to wait. Okay. Hang on.
What's the longest you'd wait for a Joe Burrow bobblehead?
Not very long. I don't know how long I would wait. If a half hour, I don't know. 7 hour, I would not go and stand in line for seven. Look, if you could meet Patrick Mahomes and have like a, if you met Patrick Mahomes, Bink, and you could just geek out about football for like 10 minutes, would you wait 7 hours?
No.
5 hours?
No.
Would you wait 1 hour?
No.
You want to wait? No.
You want to wait an hour? The patience of a gnat. I mean,
I get that.
I have ADD so bad. It was tough for me to get through college because I like to get up and walk around too much.
I get it, Bink.
I would even go to a restaurant if I see people standing outside. I won't wait 15 minutes at a place.
But I'll
go to the next one.
You wouldn't wait an hour to meet and talk with Patrick Mahomes for 15 minutes?
No.
Okay. I thought I would get you there, but I guess not.
Well, I mean, it'd be fun. Now, if you wanted me to sit there with Nick Saban, yeah, I might wait. Just talk some football and strategy.
You would wait to talk to Saban
because you might get something more of that instead of people are so guarded that are playing right now. They don't give you anything.
I know, but I think I think you would get more from Mahomes if you were in person in a like close, like you wouldn't be able to play anything over the air or anything like that. Like it would be a, you're just a regular dude. Say you weren't in radio or anything like that. You weren't in media. 10 minutes with Mahomes. I think Mahomes is giving you more than what he gives on a regular basis in regards to answering questions.
I don't think anything is worth waiting that long. We wait for a restaurant. Am I get off my lawn guy here? What are you?
No.
If I drive by and there's people standing outside, you know, normally I'm done, no, man.
Normally,
I'm gone.
I agree with you. Normally it is a no.
It's not worth it. Which
is why you jump in the wait list. You can join some places. You can join the wait list early.
Yeah, like Texas Roadhouse or something. Yeah, on early.
That is the move for those. But I don't know. I think I don't know if there's anything that I would wait longer than when I was in college. I waited for like a VIP at a concert for a little while. I got there early. I would say it was maybe half hour, 45 minutes, and it was my favorite artist. I don't know if I'd wait.
Who's your favorite artist?
Logic.
Who the hell's that?
He's a rapper, Bink.
Oh.
Probably not your genre. I don't know if it wraps your cup of tea, Bink.
I wouldn't wait that long for a concert.
Logic's my guy. But yeah, I wouldn't even
go to one, to be honest with you.
I don't think
I'd
would.
I'd go watch Feinbaum.
You would go to game day. I don't think.
Oh, 100%.
I don't think I would wait any more for a concert longer than. The longest I maybe have waited for anything, actually, in line was a Kanye West concert. That was an hour and a half, 2 hour wait. It sucked. It was brutal.
These people were waiting for 7 hours, man.
It was a long time. I don't know how those people did 7 hours.
Where'd they go take a leak and stuff? Do you pee in a 2 liter? What do you do?
Honestly,
you just pee your pants? I mean, 7 hours, dude.
That honestly is a really good point. Because
what if you have to go? Nobody's
holding your spot in line, I don't think.
I think of that when people get the Arrowhead, like way before the gates open in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do if you have to throw one or pinch one? You know what I'm saying? Where are you going?
Someone said, would you wait from the 816? Would you wait 1 hour for a free pass through a 2 hour line?
No.
I don't think I would. No. I think I would just need to have the pass.
I despise any lines. It's like the airport and everything else. I mean, unless you're getting TSA approved, man, give me something to go through things. I just hate to sit there and wait.
What? How about this one, Bank? This is
and
up
by the
your
way,
alley.
One of those airplanes when you sit out there in that tarmac for it sucks too. Go ahead.
You're right about that. 913. What if it's an hour long wait for a coupon that gives you free beer for a month?
Okay. Okay. I would do that.
You're in.
Well, the thing is, like at the DMV, we always have to wait over an hour, and it's not fun at the end. But the free beer for a month,
not Patrick Mahomes, but free beer for a month.
Are you talking Mahomes isn't going to give me beer all month?
I understand. I'm just saying, you could hang out with Patrick Mahomes. Nobody gets
give
to
a
do
free
that.
Beer, man.
I know that.
I mean, if you ask me, would you rather meet Patrick Mahomes or have free beer for a month without even a wait? I'm going beer for a month.
Okay.
Because that's a lot of beer.
Yeah, it's not meet. It's hang out. Meeting is, hey, man, how's it going? Let me take a picture and I'm gone. You get to hang out with Patrick Mahomes.
For how long?
15 minutes.
No, Drew, I want beer for a month. That's actually a very good one. That's the one thing we actually got me.
That's the only I saw that.
I thought
and I was
you
like,
waited 2 hours, man. Just an hour. But I said I don't like waiting for anything, but free beer for a month, man.
Someone said, by the way, before we go to break from the 402, the Shohei bobbleheads are going for $249 on eBay. Of course.
Yeah, of course. And if you spend $249 for a Shohei Ohtani bobblehead, you're almost as stupid as waiting 7 hours. Well, no, you are more stupid than waiting 7 hours for
him. You're not making smart decisions.
It's just a stupid piece of plastic, man.
Agreed.
With a head go, and what the hell are you going to do with it?
I don't know, Bank.
I mean, I was at an Ed Yost bobblehead and stuff, you know? So I don't do. But Andy Reid, he spoke today and gave his update on who's going to play and who's not. Because you know what? We're in season. It's like a Monday press conference, so to speak. But because they're playing on Thursday, it's on Friday. We have that next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.